And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the inner sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
And welcome, everybody. It is 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on January 16th. It's a Saturday, Lisa.
It's a Saturday, Carl.
We're here on a Saturday.
We are. There's
because,
a lot of traffic out there today.
Yeah, that's because we're here on Saturdays and Sundays.
Get out.
With the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 43, if you can count, and I can.
Are you trying to be mean
I
to
got
me?
An
are
A
you starting off with
in
being
math.
Mean?
No. Not at
you
all.
You said if you can count,
no,
as if
said,
maybe I couldn't
if
count.
If I
then.
Could count. This is the WGN Radio Theater where we play classic radio shows all the way until 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And then we're here again tomorrow night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning with three more classic radio shows. And if this is the first time you're joining us, so welcome aboard. We're here on WGN every week on the weekends. Lisa Wolf is my co-host. We have Shane Reardon in the booth. There is our producer. Hi, Shane. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
All right. Doing well. And we have Rocky Fortune to start things off in just a moment with Frank Sinatra, sort of a detective adventure. Then Pete Kelly's Blues with Jack Webb. I promise you will enjoy that. And then Cary Grant stars in Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House on the Screen Director's Playhouse. But it's time now for our Celebrity Scoop segment brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Okay, so this actor stars in the upcoming biography sports film Race about a man's quest to become the greatest track and field athlete and his participation in the 1936 Olympics.
All right, I'm going to give you a hint by playing a clip about this actor. And if you can identify this actor, you're going to win a Lou Malnati's pizza. No?
No, actually, Carl, we are going to be giving away tickets tonight for Another Word for Beauty, which is playing right now at Goodman Theater.
Oh, okay. All right. Tickets to see a great play at Goodman Theater. So the number to call, 312-981-7200. Now, here's a hint. This is an actor who voiced the role of Scar in the 1994 animated feature, The Lion King.
There's a good lad. You run along now and have fun. And remember, it's our little secret.
All right, name that celebrity. Call us, 312-981-7200. Win tickets to Goodman Theater. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
There's a good lad. You run along now and have fun. And remember, it's our little secret.
And we're going to talk to Andy from Romeoville. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Now, that is a great voice. Whose voice is that who plays Scar and who will also be in the upcoming film Race?
That would be Jeremy Irons.
Absolutely. You are a winner, Andy, and you've won two tickets to the world premiere by Jose Rivera called Another Word for Beauty. It's playing right now at the Goodman Theater, running through February 21st. And it's a music-filled work, and it's about female inmates at a Columbia prison, and they're competing in a beauty pageant. I hope that you really enjoy that. You can check them out at goodmantheater.org.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
And thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate you listening to the WGN Radio Theater. Once again, we're here Saturdays and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. playing the best in classic radio, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, The Whistler, Gunsmoke, Dragnet. I can go on and on, Lisa.
Yes, I know you could.
I can talk and talk and talk.
Get out. You? No. A man of few words.
Yes,
that's
I am.
You
I'm going to start saying every other word. Then we'll get more shows in.
That might work out for me.
I'm going to try doing that.
Good.
All right. Let's start things out with a radio series that Frank Sinatra started. You know, he was in a lot of radio, did a lot of guest appearances. He, of course, had his series where he was the regular singer on Your Hit Parade. But he had a sort of amateur detective series that started in 1954, March 30th to be exact. And this was a show created by George Lefferts and Ernest Canoy of X-1 and Dimension X fame. So they decided to do this detective show. It was heard on NBC. It never attracted a sponsor. Came to radio for one season. Sinatra's career at this time, Lisa, was, how do you say, fading a little bit. And his role of Private Angelo Maggio in From Here to Eternity had just come out. And he would really become a superstar after that. But right now it was a little dull period in his career. And when that came out, he said, "Nah, heck with this series. I'm going to make more movies, and I'm going to have more, you know, TV shows and things like that." So on this series, he played Rocky Fortunato, a young man in need of employment and accepting odd jobs from the Gridley Employment Agency. Now, Barney Phillips was Police Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger on this. And as I say, this came out right at the time that his big movie came out, which he won, you know, Best Supporting Actor for that movie. 1 week later, after the last show, he won that, and that was it. He said, "You know what? I'm done.
I'm a star."
Right? Is that going to happen with you when you become a big movie star? Are you going to leave this radio show?
Probably.
Okay, good. I just want to...
just keep
moving.
I'm taking
applications then.
Yeah,
let's
okay.
start taking them now.
Well, enjoy me while I'm here.
I will. I definitely will. All right, let's tune this in. Go back to January 12th, 1954. This is called The Rodeo Murder Mystery. It stars Frank Sinatra, and it's heard on NBC. Part one now of Rocky Fortune.
Now, Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. When it comes to employment, I am what you might call a connoisseur. I have jobs which are strictly out of this world. The last one I had nearly put me there permanently. I am instructed to report to the 9th Avenue Arena. When I get there, I find the horse follies of 1954 is all over the place. The legit title is Grand National Rodeo. And I find the boss, an old guy with a hat you could stew tomatoes in, hanging over the rail, watching a cowboy ride on a bull, which must have just sat down on a hornet. You, Colonel Larrabee?
Look at that boy, stuck to that critter's back like he had a pot of glue in his hip pocket.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Colonel Larrabee.
He's leaving his home,
that boy's the best frame of bull rider I've seen in 20 years. Hey, get that critter away from him. Doggone it, how many times have I told those broken down tramps to get him away from... Look out!
He's clear, Pop. He's up over the fence rail.
Oh, I gotta tell them hands to move in quicker. Don't look good when a rider gets gored by the bull. It's bad publicity. Gets the Humane Society down on you.
I don't mean to interrupt, but are you Colonel Larrabee?
I am. Who are you?
Rocky Fortune. The agency said that you needed an administrative assistant.
Administrative assistant? I told that agency I wanted an errand boy, somebody from the West.
Sure, that's me.
You from the West?
Yeah, 11th Avenue. You get any further west than that, you're in the Hudson River.
Ah.
Oh, come on, Pop. You just want somebody to run errands? He doesn't have to qualify as a top hand.
I suppose not.
Yeah, what's keeping that next rider?
Well, Mr. Fortune, I'm Jane Larrabee. Colonel, here's my father. If you're going to work for the rodeo, you'll just have to get used to him. He's so western, he makes Wild Bill Hickok look like a sophomore at Basser.
Now, Janie, don't you go running down the west. All right, young man.
You mean I'm hired? Okay, what am I supposed to do?
Anything I tell you to. Mostly run errands and answer the telephone for me. The show's on, I'm all over this barn. I need somebody to keep me in touch with the office. So print it?
Sure. I'm the tail on your dog.
Yeah? Yeah, all right, Fortune. I guess I'm stuck with you. You can start right now. You go down to my office and bring up the tally on the box office receipts for today's matinee. It's on my desk.
Sure. Where's your office?
Down those stairs over there. My name's on the door.
Reet, Dad, Reet.
Huh? A westerner.
to pull myself away from the fence rail, and I hear the snap as my eyes peel off Jane Larrabee. She's one of them tall dames, dressed like the rest of the cowboys in Levi's and fancy shirt. But somehow the shirt turns out fancier than it was originally intended, and she manages to look somewhat different from Gary Cooper in similar circumstances. The colonel's offices are down a long hall, which looks like the Canal Street station of the Broadway subway. I open the door and walk in. For a second, I think I'd forgotten to open the door. Something clobbered me behind the ear, and I go down for a long count. And just as I'm beginning to come up for air, I hear somebody coming down the corridor. I open one eye and spot a pair of bow legs that could walk over a beer barrel without noticing it.
What are you doing down there?
Oh, my head.
Where's that list I sent you for? It's been close to an hour.
I was slugged.
Yeah. Well, come on into my office and I'll... What happened in here?
Looks like somebody tried to turn the desk inside out. The guy that slugged me...
I figured that might happen. Some low-down coyote tried to rob me.
Then we better call the cops, huh?
No. If Labby can't handle his own affairs without calling on a sheriff, he might as well fold up. Besides, it'd be bad publicity for the show.
Well, it's almost time for you... Hey, what's this?
You're glad you come along, Ringo. Some pat rack slugged Fortune and busted into my desk. Fortune, this is my top hand, Ringo Durham.
Howdy. Well, I told you not to leave all that money around if you'd only put it in the bank.
I don't hold with no banks. I want my money where I can lay my hands on it.
Did you have much dough stashed in the roll top?
They had their receipts for the matinee, $25,000.
That ain't hay.
Pop, they're holding up the entrance key. What's the matter?
Somebody broke it in the colonel's desk.
Pop, did they get the money for the note?
Now, don't you worry, Janie. There's evening show yet.
But it's due at midnight. If you don't have $45,000, ACA takes over the show.
Who's ACA?
Amusement Corporation Associates. They got a lien on the show.
Pop, why couldn't you put the money in the bank?
I begged him, Jane.
Oh, I know you did, Ringo. Pop, ACA's been trying to take over your show for 10 years now.
Now, don't you worry, honey. I ain't going to let them pies and prairie dogs get a hold of my show. I built it up from a Wheel of Fortune booth at the county fair, and I ain't going to lose it now.
But the money... You won't be able to make the payment. Pop, what are we going to do?
Jane, you know I've got enough saved up. You can always count on me. I'd be pleased to help you.
I don't have to.
What?
You think I'm a bleating maverick still wet behind the ears? The money wasn't in my desk.
Wasn't?
Got it right here.
Where?
You didn't think it was that miserable wolf bait we've been eating in the cafeteria put this lump on my middle?
You mean you're carrying the money with you?
In a money belt. Any man gets it off me, got to get my pants first. And ain't a Labby been caught with his pants down since the Oklahoma land rush?
What happened to the Oklahoma land rush?
Son, that's a long story.
It's a lucky thing ever busted in here didn't know that.
I still think we ought to call the cops.
I don't need no tenderfoot posse. I carry my own policeman, two of them. Ringo, you can tell every waddy in the show that I got my money where I carry my lunch. And I'll blow a hole through the first man that goes for it. Big enough to drive a yearling bull through. I can take care of myself.
And there's a certain atmosphere around the rodeo, and it gets stronger as you go downstairs where they keep the horses. I strike up a conversation with a bunch of the wild horse jockeys, but all of them who aren't called Slim are called Tex, so I can't tell one from another. And this is very confusing to me, and I'm beginning to wish that I'm back in the East where people speak English and the ladies wear high heels. Just before the evening show, I'm standing outside the colonel's office when I hear voices inside.
Colonel, what do you know about this maverick Fortune?
Nothing. Why?
Well, that's a mighty interesting coincidence. He sent him down to your office, he's gone an hour, and there's an attempted robbery.
But he was dry gulched.
Well, that's what he says. Maybe he heard you coming and laid down and put on an act.
I don't know.
I'd feel a lot safer if you'd let me take that money over to the bank.
Don't you worry, Ringo. I'm keeping it right here. I just want to get my hands on any skunk that tries to grab my poke.
How about Fortune?
I got my eye on him. One move out of line and I'll cancel him like a check.
I figure I better keep my nose clean, so I spend the evening sitting alongside of Jane Larrabee where I can get a good look at her profile, which is very rewarding, all the way down to her spurs. She's telling me about the rodeo, and I'm beginning to figure it's a plot. thought up by the hospital across the street to drum up trade.
And then when the rider falls off the bull, they try to edge the critter away from him.
Well, suppose the bull don't edge.
Well, you see that dummy hanging in the middle of the ring?
With the cowboy clothes on?
Uh-huh. Sometimes if you run behind that, the bull can't tell the difference, so he tosses the dummy on his horns. Bulls are nearsighted.
Yeah. One of them one day is going to get bifocals, and you're all going to be in trouble.
Well, I got to get along now. I'm entered in the bucking bronco contest tonight.
You mean you ride them four-legged pogo sticks?
Sure. Would you like to try it?
Thank you. No, I'm too nervous. I'll stick to jumping in front of the express trains on the 8th Avenue subway.
So what do you think of Rocky Fortune there, Lisa Wolf?
You were talking a lot. I didn't get the whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to listen to part
two. You
weren't
paying attention.
You don't stop talking. I didn't hear the every other word thing going on.
This is Frank Sinatra's sort of action-adventure series. He was great in everything he did.
He is great.
You know, I mean, he was the chairman of the board after all.
Yep.
He was old Blue Eyes.
Yep.
What else was he?
Old Blue Eyes.
I don't
Eyes
know. I think
it.
Those are the only, that's the only two I can think of. Rocky Fortune starring in The Rodeo Murder from January 12, 1954 on Rocky Fortune. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a drawing, right? And not the kind that you use with pastel or a marker. It's a drawing where you can send in a picture of you and your cat. Want to take it from there?
Sure. You can send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And at the end of every month, we will have a drawing, as you put it, where we will choose one lucky winner who will win an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is the best around. It's lightweight, and it is great absorption, and it is the kitty litter that you want to try if you haven't already done so. So send a picture of you and your cat with your name and cat's name and city and state to catspridephoto@gmail.com. At the end of the month, we'll have CEO Dan Jaffe here, and he'll pick a lucky winner, and maybe it'll be you.
Yep, and we do post those pictures on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. Right?
That's right.
Okay. I'll check with the boss here.
That's
Is that right?
Right. That's okay. Right.
And we also have a website. It's WGN Radio Theater. We have our entire schedule there. If you want to know what classic radio shows we're airing here on Saturday and Sunday nights on the legendary Radio 720 WGN, just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. That's our website. All kinds of other fun stuff there, too. So check it out. Let's take a quick break. Then we'll be back with Frank Sinatra and Rocky Fortune. Lisa, what did you cook this week? Anything good?
Cook anything for your children and your husband? I did. I just can't think of anything.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I do. I make chicken fajitas all the time.
Really?
It's a specialty.
Lisa is really good at...
really good cook.
...at dialing the phone to order some food.
Yes.
She's really good at that.
I am, but I cook too.
Do you really? You cook?
I have to.
I
made lasagna this week.
What?
Yes.
You made I'm Italian. You don't bring me any lasagna?
Well, I don't have it anymore. It's gone.
Well, you should have saved. You should have been like, well, let me save a little chunk of this for Carl. You know?
It wouldn't taste good then. You'd have to eat it like fresh, hot out of the oven, you know, cheese all sizzling.
I'm very proud of you. You did some cooking this week, huh, Lisa?
Yeah, it's too cold to go out. I don't know.
I know.
It's a homebody when it gets this cold.
And how many classic radio shows did you listen to this week?
Well, I hear 3 on Saturdays and 3 on Sundays.
Right. We have Rocky Fortune, Pete Kelly's Blues, Screen Directors Playhouse. You know what we have for tomorrow night?
Yes, I
do. Let me look here at my schedule.
Me to tell you?
I know. Do you know? You tell me. It's Burns and Allen.
I know. That's what I told you.
Crime Classics.
Right.
And Gunsmoke. That's tomorrow night here.
I'll be here.
So we started this radio show here on 720 WGN maybe 40-plus weeks ago, something like that, 39, 40 weeks ago.
Right.
And about 5-6 weeks ago, management said, how would you like to do Saturday nights along with Sunday nights? And we went, yes.
We said yes before we even breathed,
right.
I think.
It's like, absolutely, we'll do it. And we're having the best time ever. We're here Saturdays and Sundays with the best in classic radio. Don't miss a single weekend.
And
please.
We still like each other.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Yes, yes, yes. Please
Most
tell a friend.
Time.
Please tell a friend about the show. If this is the first time you've tuned it in, Well, welcome aboard. We play all your favorites. And the best way to request a show that you want to hear is by just logging on to Facebook and finding us at WGN Radio Theater. And when you do go to our Facebook page, please like us. I'd love to build the likes. In fact, let's have a little marathon like session. Right?
Okay, a like
tonight,
session.
Right?
Like that.
Where are we on Facebook? How many likes do we
right
have?
Now,
mm-hmm.
We have 1,109 likes.
Okay, so let's pick a number. Let's say, let's be really aggressive.
Let's get to 1,200.
Right.
I think that sounds right.
Could we get to 1,200 tonight, folks? Could you help us out? Help us to get to 1,200
and
likes.
And if we do get to 1,200 by the end of the night, then what happens?
I don't know.
We need a reward.
I'll think of something.
We need to reward our listeners.
I will think
for
of something.
Something.
Yes.
We're going to hand out money or what?
Please log on to Facebook and search for us, WGN Radio Theater. Please like us. We want to get to 1,200 likes tonight. And we'll come up with something.
Yeah.
I promise.
Okay.
So, but right now, when you do go there, please request shows. We would love to play shows that you want to hear. If you want to hear Dragnet, or you want to hear the Jack Benny program or The Shadow, just let us know and we will play it for you. We promise. Okay, let's get back now to Frank Sinatra in Rocky Fortune.
Later on, I watch Jane Larrabee wrestle an 800-pound steer down to his knees in 12 seconds, and I make a mental note not to try anything in a taxicab with his doll. In that case, I figure the odds would be that she'd have me down, roped, branded, with a notch cut out of my ear before the cab meter could run up 35 cents. I head down below the main arena to the old man's office to find out if he had any messages for me to run. I open the door and walk in. Colonel, I came down to... Holy smokes. Colonel, dead as a mackerel.
What up your hand, stranger?
What? Oh, it's you. Listen, Rango, the old man...
I can see.
He's been shot.
Yeah, you used his own gun, didn't you?
What are you talking about?
Now, don't you step this way, mister.
Now, wait a minute. Just a minute. I walked into the office and there he was.
Well, that's your story. Looks like I caught you just in time. Now, hand over the money.
I haven't got any money. I didn't do it. Listen, while you're standing there making like the Lone Ranger, the real killer's probably halfway to the Bronx.
Oh, no, he ain't. He's right here.
Ringo, what's the matter? They're calling for you down, but... What is it? What's happened?
Jane, it's your pa.
What do you mean? Pop. Pop, what is it?
He's dead.
Pop. No.
He was shot with his own gun.
No.
You're going to pay for this fortune.
But I didn't do it. Why should I?
$45,000.
I didn't take the money. You can search me.
Well, maybe you didn't have time. I look in his money belt and don't move. I can shoot out a candle from horseback.
Oh, Pop.
The money belt's still full.
That's what I tried to tell you.
You just didn't get a chance to take it. Hey.
What is it?
This isn't money in here. It's newspaper.
Newspapers? Well, the old man must have been trying to fool the killer. He must have hid the money somewhere else.
I guess he did fool the killer, didn't he, Fortune?
Listen, you bow-legged lunkhead, I didn't shoot him.
Jane, do you want me to take it?
Oh, please, Ringo. I'd better go upstairs. The show... I can't stay here. I don't want to think. You do whatever you think is best.
All right, Jane, don't worry. I'll take care of it.
Look, I hate to repeat myself, but you better call the cops.
Don't need no cops. We'll take care of this our own way.
You can't do that.
After the show, me and the boys will give you a nice fair trial before we string you up.
You can't do this. This is New York City. I want a habeas corpus.
Well, there'll be a corpus, all right. Colonel Larrabee was the finest old man you'd ever want to know. There isn't a hand in this show that wouldn't take a chance of swinging to make sure his killer got what was coming to him. Now, right after the show, we're going to fit you for a nice long necktie. Now, get moving.
Rango, again, I tell you, why don't you send for the cops?
Call some smart city lawyer. Might find a way to weasel you out of this.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
Get in here.
What is this?
A box stall. We'll keep you in here nice and cozy till I round up the boys. I'm gone.
Hey, there's something in there.
A horse.
Oh, that's Sam, the educated mule. He won't mind. Go on.
All right, quit pushing.
And don't tickle Sam on the side. That's what makes him kick.
Thanks a lot.
We want you in one piece till we can get a hold of you. Now, if I was you, I'd start practicing.
Practicing what?
How to sing Bury Me Not on the Lone Prairie.
I am sharing a lovely one-room apartment tastefully decorated with antique feed bags and harness straps with luxuriant wall-to-wall straw. My roommate is Sam, an intelligent-looking mule who gives me the fishy eye. Now, look, Sam, I don't know you, and you don't know me, so let's leave it that way. Now, you stay over on your side, and I'll stay over on mine. But you got sinus condition, too. You know, pal, you'll have them tonsils out. Now, look, Sam, all this is very pleasant, but I got to figure where some way to get out of this before that crazy bunch of cowboys decides to try an 18-foot necktie for size with me on the end of it. Hey! Let me out of here! Anybody! Let me out of here! I got a right to make one phone call. Hey! Hey!
What are you doing in there, Mac?
At last, a human voice. How did you get in here without a Western dialect?
All right, Mac, stick up your hands before I blow your belt buckle out through your spine.
What?
This ain't no fountain pen. I got stuck in your ribs.
I've been betrayed by a Brooklyn accent.
What are you, Punchy? Where's the dough?
What dough?
The old man's dough, the 25 G's.
How should I know?
You've been with him all day. Come on now, bright boy, talk. Where'd he stash the dough when he stuffed that money belt with newspaper?
How did you know he had newspaper? Never mind, I can guess.
Hey, you're real bright.
You knocked him off.
Look, I ain't got much time. I'll give you three, and then I'm going to let you have it.
You wouldn't dare shoot down here. You'll have the cops and the joint on your heels in a minute.
You kidding with all them horse boys firing blanks upstairs?
You got a point. All right. I'll tell you where the dough is. Come on. You see this drinking fountain over there?
Yeah.
Behind it, there's a loose brick.
The water fountain?
Yeah, look over the top.
Yeah, and keep your hands up where I can see them here.
Sure, sure.
I don't see no brick.
Lean over the top.
Yeah, where?
Here. I slam my foot down on the fountain pedal, let him have a shot of ice water and a kisser, and then I'm off running with a clear track.
Hey!
I figure if I stay in the Carter, I'm a setup for a slug in the back, so I take the first right turn, head up a ramp, and out a little door. I slam it quick behind me, which is a mistake. I'm right smack in the middle of the arena, and coming my way fast is about 2,000 pounds of cow with a built-in pitchfork between the ears. I give him a quick sidestep and the bull puts on the brakes and skids to a stop 10 feet away. Hey, Ferdinand. Ferdy, come on, Ferdinand. You want to smell a nice carnation? Atta boy, you go down the other end and I'll meet you there in 20 minutes. Nice, Ferdinand. Don't get sore, baby. Don't get sore. Who's moving?
Stay still. A bull won't charge if you stay still.
That's your story. How does he feel about it?
Don't move. The riders will edge him away.
I ain't got time to wait, honey. Ferdinand quits pawing the ground, shifts into first, and starts. This kid's strictly hydromatic, and he must be doing 50 when he goes past the place where I was. He pulls up short and looks around a little confused. He can't find me, which is not surprising, because I'm swinging back and forth across the arena on the dummy, which hangs in the middle of the ring. On one end of the swing is the bull, and on the other end is Rango, which is no improvement.
Rocky, hold on. Hold on. We'll get you out. Whatever you do, don't let go.
Get me off this dummy.
Bull doesn't get your fortune, I will. You ain't getting away this way.
Somebody get me off this dummy. I'm getting seasick. Here I have this next wall, Max.
Drop up over here. They got the ball the other end. Go ahead, drop.
Okay, here I go. So long, Max. It's been grand. Unfortunately, I make a small miscalculation and let go on Rengo's end of the swing. He picks me up and dusts me off with his hand, which he happens to have rolled up into a fist at the time.
You rat.
How'd you get away?
Listen, Applenocker, wise up. The real killer's right downstairs.
What are you talking about?
A short, fat guy from Brooklyn.
Oh, you're lying to me, you sad
one. Tell you, he told me he killed the old man. Now, come on, we can get him before he gets out of the building.
Okay. But if we don't find him, we're still going to see you fitted for a real tight collar.
Let's get going. Don't trip over those spurs.
I don't see anyone, Fortune.
He might have gotten away. Wait a minute.
What?
There he is, down the hall. Come on. That's where you shoved me into that box store, right around this corner.
He's gone.
Couldn't be. I saw him. Wait a minute. Look, the door of the box stall. It's moving.
You see that polecat's got a shooting iron?
Yeah, it ain't as big as that slide trombone you carry, but it's for real.
You better let me handle this one. Now, stand back.
Be my guest.
I'll kick open the door. Ready? Now.
Drop that gun. All right, Fortune, I got him.
Yeah, that's him, all right. Hey, he's still moving. We better get an ambulance for him.
Why bother?
Well, it just doesn't seem friendly this way.
Help me.
All right, Mac. Take it easy. We'll get a doctor.
No, it's no use. Dirty rat.
Please go get a doctor, Fortune.
Wait a minute. He's saying something.
Dirty rat. Hired me to get money. Then he...
Who did? Who hired you?
Then he shoots me down.
And he means that
Fortune, you just ain't a lucky hombre. If he died like you should have, you wouldn't be in trouble now. Don't move.
You hired the killer.
Didn't tell him to kill the old man. Just wanted the money so he couldn't meet that note. And he would have had to come to me for the money.
You were going to take over the show, huh?
I'm going to.
Not if I can get to the cops, you ain't.
Well, that's why you ain't going to. I figure I killed one man here in self-defense. I might as well make it two.
You were afraid this hood would talk, huh?
I wish we like umbers like you, strong, silent, and dead. Okay, Fortune, here it comes.
Oh, Rocky, are you all right?
Janie.
Rocky, what's going on in here? Who is that man?
The one on the floor is the guy who killed your dad, and the guy with the can under my ribs is the man who hired him to do it.
Rengo?
Fortune, I'll kill you for that.
Guess again. If you do, you'll have to kill her, too. And something tells me you ain't got the courage, pal. You're through, Rengo. Why don't you give it up?
Not yet. I'm getting out of here. And Janie, you'll come.
Oh, listen, no!
Rengo, you ain't got a chance.
Janie's my chance. Anybody comes after me and she gets your fortune. Now remember that before you go calling the cops.
Rengo tucks the girl under one elbow and gives me a straight arm into the straw with the other. The door slams, the lock snaps, and I'm back in housekeeping with a mule. This time he's nervous, and let's fly a pair of heels at my head. Hey, look out! This gives me an idea. I figure I can't kick the door open, but the mule can. I climb up on top of him because that's the safest place. Line him up with the door and tickle him under the left hind leg. Nice work, Sam. Now hold still while I get down. I said, let me get off, man. Let me get... Cut it out, Sam. Let me off, Sam. Where you taking me? Sam heads down to Carter like a three-year-old coming down to widen a chute at Jamaica. I guess I'd better stay on until he slows down. So I bury both hands in his mane and go along for the ride. We hit the sidewalk and I spot Rengo pulling Jane to a taxi down the block. It's obvious that they went that away, so Sam and I start after it. This is Sam's idea, strictly. Now, our runaway mule has been a little unusual on 9th Avenue since about 1911, I guess. So by the time we hit 46th Street, there's a traffic jam and a horse pulls up between a beer truck and a taxi cab. And I fall off just as the cab door opens.
Get back in.
Well, Rover boy.
Go to the cab door, Fortune. I'll plug you like I plug.
Okay, I'll close the door.
Oh, a hand!
All right, Rengo, now I got the gun. Oh, how do you hold this thing with one hand? You ain't going nowhere now. Not New York City in a traffic jam. Get out, Ringo.
Rocky, he was trying to take over the show.
I know, I know.
Well, we'll lose it anyway. We haven't got the $45,000 to pay the note.
That's easy. It's right where your father hid it.
We don't know where.
I do. I asked Max.
Max?
That dummy that's hung over the arena in the bull riding. He's got 45 G's stuffed inside his shirt.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Dan Riss, Marion Richmond, Don Diamond, Tony Barrett. Tonight's script was written by Ernest Kinoy. Andrew C. Love directed. Tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Did I ever tell you about the time I conducted a sightseeing tour at the museum? Man, they got dead people and sarcophagi lying all over that place. Not that I'm squeamish about a bunch of old mummies, believe me, but when they tried to embalm me, that's where I drew the line. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around.
Visit with Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Sarcophagi.
Yeah.
That's the plural. The plural of sarcophagus, I guess.
I didn't know that. I learned that as well.
But old Blue Eyes there, the chairman of the board, knew that sarcophagi.
You can't even say it.
This was a kind of cool, hip, swanky, very bluesy show, Lisa.
Yeah, it's
you know, he was a cool cat, that Frank Sinatra. There's nobody cooler than Frank Sinatra. Although Dean Martin was right up there in coolness, I will say that. And then Elvis came along a little later.
There's plenty of
ultra cool there.
Yep.
Who else?
Who else cool?
I'm trying to think. Well, the Fonz.
I'm looking at cool.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. The Fonz.
He was
pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this was Rocky Fortune with a rodeo murder mystery, January 12th, 1954, as heard on NBC. I hope you enjoyed Rocky Fortune. In our next hour, we're going to tune in to Pete Kelly's Blues, a terrific show starring Jack Webb. In our third hour, it's Cary Grant, one of the biggest movie stars of the golden age of films, will appear in Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, one of the funniest movies, I think. I mean, hilarious movie of the 1940s that's coming your way. They did movies on radio. It's crazy, I know, but they would take a movie script and adapt it for radio, which is cool. I kind of did the exact opposite years later with The Twilight Zone. Took the Twilight Zone television shows and turned them into radio dramas. So they can go either way, right? They can just
either
be,
way.
They can, there can be transposed as they say.
Or transformed either way.
Transformed, transposed. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. So Lisa, you feel like sticking around for a couple more hours?
I guess.
Anything better to do?
No, not really.
To play classic radio on a Saturday night?
There is nothing better.
I mean, you drove all the way out from the suburbs to be here.
I can't think of anything better.
So you might as well stick around
until
2 in the morning.
I will do that.
And then walk outside in the freezing cold.
Yes.
And get in your car and turn the butt warmers on, which is what I do.
I do. And then we can come right back here tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right. The second I get in the car, butt warmer, click.
You got a cold butt?
It is cold outside. I don't like it cold.
No.
I like it warm.
Well, it's nice and warm here in the
Shane, is
Allstate
it possible
studio?
To pick the entire station up and move it to Phoenix, Arizona or somewhere like that?
I'll see what I can do. I know somebody.
Okay, you know, I mean, because, you know, that would be really good.
Yeah,
I would probably
get it done before tomorrow's show if you want.
I appreciate that very much. Shane Reardon, our producer.
Well, he can do anything, right?
He is awesome.
You know what I don't do?
What's that?
I don't return Christmas gifts.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Shane.
If looks could kill.
Shane, I am high-fiving you right now. We're far away, but I'm giving you the high five, buddy. Way to go. There's our bouncy theme, Lisa. Very bouncy.
I'm bouncy.
And you're bouncy. You look like you're very bouncy there. You know, Matt, remember those...
Did you just tell me I look like I'm bouncy?
You're bouncy. Remember those exercise balls as a kid? Remember you used to ride them, like, and they were good for exercising as
this
a kid?
This conversation is going down the wrong path.
No. You know, that's because you have a very... mind.
Really?
You.
Well, great minds think alike. That's all I can
Lisa,
say.
You, Lisa, you.
Let's leave it.
All right, so this is the WGN Radio Theater. My co-host is the bouncy Lisa Wolf. I have the honor of having Shane Reardon as our producer in there, and he's amazing. And also all of our listeners who are tuning in. We are so happy to have all of our listeners tuning in to the best in classic radio. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. And it is morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning,
Carl. Good morning.
Carl.
It's a Sunday morning. And we'll be right back here in like 20-something hours. Right?
Right.
20-something hours I'll be back here, right? We'll be both back here.
We'll be both back here.
Playing.
Or we'll both be back here.
We'll have
the
Burns and Allen show. We'll have Crime Classics and Gunsmoke.
I knew we had
Sunday
Burns
night.
And Allen coming up.
Yeah.
We've been asked, people are asking for the comedy, so.
We have a comedy
we have
this
a comedy
morning.
Today and a comedy tonight.
And comedy tonight. Remember
yeah,
that?
Tonight.
I don't know what that was from, but what was that from?
Comedy tonight. It's from a show.
It was from a show. That's
a
true.
A musical.
Definitely was.
I'll look it up.
No, we don't have time to do that.
Alrighty.
We have Pete Kelly's Blues. I promise you, you are going to really think this is a cool show. Jack Webb stars in that. But first, it's our sponsor segment, Celebrity Scoop.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actress stars in the upcoming thriller Shut-In, about a widow caught in a deadly winter storm who must find a way to rescue a young boy before he disappears forever.
All right, so I'll give you a hint as to who this celebrity is. But what do they win if they can identify?
Oh, two tickets to Goodman Theater to see a show called Another Word for Beauty. This is a world premiere by Jose Rivera.
All right, so the number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Rachel, mother of Aiden, in the 2002 horror film The Ring.
Where is she? Please. I have to stop her. If I don't, my son will die.
All right. Who is that actress? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
Please. I have to stop her. If I don't, my son will die.
And we have Rachel on the line from Midlothian. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. We're so glad you got through, and we're hoping that you can tell us who is going to be in the Shut-In and who was in The Ring. Who was that voice?
It's Naomi Watts.
That is absolutely right. You are a winner, Rachel. I am so excited that you have won two tickets to Goodman Theater to see a world premiere written by Jose Rivera. He's really something else. I've interviewed him, and he's fantastic. This is a music-filled play, and it's about female inmates at a Columbia prison who are competing in a beauty pageant. It's very dark, and it's very exciting, and you can check that out at goodmantheater.org. I hope you love the show, Rachel.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Just like me, tall, dark, and exciting.
That's
right?
Tall, dark, and exciting.
Yeah, that's all,
I was thinking of you when I was talking about the play.
I know, Lisa. That's why I'm in radio, because I have a face for radio.
Yeah, well, you know, some people got it and some people don't.
So where are we on the likes? That's what I want to
know. Okay, so here we are. We are hoping you can go to our Facebook page. We want you to like us. We are hoping you can tell us what you'd like to hear on the show. And we love feedback and comments. And we just posted a really cool picture of us in the studio, and we hope that you'll check it out. We've got to build up our likes, because if we do, we have some surprise in store for our listeners.
Really? What is
yet
it?
To be determined.
Okay.
But I promise it will be fun.
We asked for likes a little earlier, and we got like 20-something likes. More,
yeah, but
right?
we want to build that up, and we want to hear from you, too. So give us comments and feedback and tell us what you'd like to hear. And check out our pictures and just be our friend.
Right. Just log on to Facebook. Go to WGN Radio Theater. And please find our Facebook page and like us. All right, time now for this really cool radio series. It was only on the air, Lisa, 3 months. I'm not sure why. I think because Jack Webb got so busy with Dragnet,
yes,
that I think he just said, you know, I can't do both of these shows.
Sure.
This show came to NBC Radio in 1951. It was a crime drama. It was set in Kansas City in the 1920s. Jack Webb played Pete Kelly, a cornet player of the jazz combo Pete Kelly's Big Seven. It was a speakeasy that he worked at, run by George Lupo. And the plots sort of centered around Kelly's reluctant involvement with kind of seedy characters, gangsters, gun mols, FBI agents, and people in trouble. The cast include Jack Crucian, William Conrad, Vic Perrin, Roy Glenn, and George Fenneman. Remember George Fenneman from You Bet Your Life?
Yeah, sure.
With Groucho Marx? Yeah, he was the announcer on this show. As I say, it lasted only 3 months, but it did inspire a 1955 film called Pete Kelly's Blues,
right,
in which Jack Webb produced, directed, and starred. He must have been a Leo like me.
He sounds a lot like you. He's got to have his hands on everything.
You know, very controlling.
You don't know anything about that.
Yes. And also a TV series popped up in 1959 starring William Reynolds. All right, let's tune this in. This is going back to August 29th, 1951. It's called The Shy Woman, and it stars Jack Webb. Let's tune in to part one of Pete Kelly's Blues.
This one's about Pete Kelly. The world he goes around in. It's about the big music and the big trouble and the big 20s. So when they ask you, tell them this one's about the blues. Pete Kelly's Blues. Pete Kelly's Blues. Starring Jack Webb. With story by Joe Eisinger and music by Dick Kettner.
My name's Pete Kelly. I play cornet. You'll find us at 417 Cherry Street, Kansas City. It's a standard speakeasy. Before Prohibition, the building housed a cleaning and dyeing plant. It hasn't changed much. The vats came in handy. It's still tough to get a clear gin, but a lady likes the idea of a drink to match the color of her dress. The lease is owned by George Lupo. He's a fat, friendly little guy who wouldn't harm a fly. There's no money in harming flies. We start every night about 10 and play till the customers get that first frightening look at each other in the early light. Lupo's working on a scheme to push the dawn back for at least one more hour. I don't think he'll make it, but I wouldn't want to risk a buck against him. Well, last night, everything was routine until I saw her again. We were just winding up the third set when she came in, flanked with the same deadpan Gunsel. She sat alone at the same table, ordered the same drinks, smoked the same Egyptian deities, and gave me that same loving look. The Gunsel, as usual, nibbled at his drink at the bar, and his eyes playing watchdog for the girl. This was the fifth night. Four nights running, same girl, same Gunsel, same routine. Sit for 5 solid hours, drink, smoke, and work me over with her eyes, reach down deep for a sigh, and leave with deadpan right behind her. Well, I didn't like it. I was beginning to taste salt on my tongue. We went into a finish, and the girl looked once at the Gunsel. He nodded, left the bar, and started to the stand.
All right. Nick, can you push it a little? It helps when we can hear the beat. All right, don't audition for me. Just do it, huh?
Pete.
Yeah, Red.
That babe's here again.
I know. All right, what do we got up next?
Working up ahead of steam, Petey.
Well, she's beginning to make me feel like a wayside shrine.
You.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a request? A number you'd like
no,
to have?
No, I got no request, but the lady, she's got a request.
The lady?
What's the matter? You don't see the lady? How come you don't see the lady when she's looking right at you?
Oh, that lady. Yeah, sure, I see the lady.
So why do you make like you don't see the lady when all the time you know the lady's looking right at you?
Look, friend, I'm only a poor underpaid employee in this trap. Now, my contract says I'm to play music to please the patrons. I'd be very happy to do anything the lady likes to please the lady.
So, all right.
So what does she want me to do?
So she wants you to have a drink with her.
Sure, that'd be an honor. But I'm afraid that Mr. Lupo, he's my boss, you know. George Lupo, the proprietor, he doesn't like his employees to mingle
with
him.
I will talk to Lupo. He'll like it.
Yeah. You could probably make him love it. Come on. I'll be right back, Red. Use some nickels.
Right, Petey. Vita, this is Mr. Kelly. Mr. Kelly, this is Vita Brand.
Sit down, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, thanks.
All right now, Vita. You happy?
I'm getting happier by the minute.
Sure, you want me to go back to bar?
Sit here, it's more friendly. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Miss Brand.
Vita.
Vita?
You like my name?
Sure, it's beautiful.
Vita. I only just got it last week.
We'll take a little time to break it in, huh?
Let me hear you say it.
Vita.
Yeah. I like the way you say it. Like you mean it.
Yeah, I do. I never meant anything more in my life.
That's because you're sincere. I knew you were sincere the first time I looked at you. Remember the first night I came in? Sat here and looked at you.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty busy up there, you know.
Ain't slept a wink since that night.
Well, maybe if you go home and put your mind to it, huh?
No use, Pete. I tried. Nothing's any good. Nothing I can do is going to change it.
Change what?
The way I feel.
Sick?
Yeah.
With what?
With love.
Oh, poor Vita.
Yeah, well, beautiful girl like you. No trouble finding another man.
I don't want another man.
You don't want another man.
I want you.
That's what Vita wants, you.
I love you, Pete.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Everybody love everybody else. It's a better world. Well, I got a number to do.
Hey, you sit down. The lady is trying to tell you how much she loves you, so pay attention.
Yeah.
First time I saw you, Pete, hit me like a dum-dum bullet.
Well, excuse me. I have to earn a buck.
Frame it. It's the last one you'll have to earn.
All right. Let's do one. What do you got up?
Till we meet again.
All right.
Petey.
Yeah, Red.
That babe, I got the rumble on her from Lupo.
Yeah.
Ever hear of a citizen named Bacchalides? The three for boy? Three killings for the price of two?
All right, Red. Funnel it down, huh?
She belongs to Bacchalides. Loser, Petey. Loser.
Now, you told me what? Now, tell me how. Well, let's try one. Let's do it till we meet again. All right, we'll make a slow intro out of the last eight. We'll go back to the top. Nick, you take the first four going in. Everybody got it?
Yep.
All right. Let's try it. Come on, let's all play it, huh? All right, once more.
Nervous, Petey?
No, I'm not nervous. Now, come on, everybody, once more. right. No break.
Pete, Gunsel's heading this way again.
Yeah, I know. What do we got up next?
Blue, sweet little you and Interdiction One Star.
All right. Now, look, friend, I got a job
You've
to do.
You've done it. Let's go.
Where?
Now, you listen, Buster. This ain't a lollipop poking you in the gut. I can drop you and be out of here before you hit the floor.
Yeah. Let's go. Well, we went outside. The Hispano out in front probably wasn't as long as it looked. We've got fairly short blocks in this part of town. Vita took the wheel. She banked low around the corner, pulled out of a half Immelman, gained a little altitude, and flew blind for downtown Kansas City. Vita glanced at me from the corners of charged eyes. It just glanced at me. I leaned my head back and closed my eyes. The Hispano whipped down Main Street, lost altitude as we gained the deserted financial district, made a perfect no-point landing at the side entrance of the Grundy Bank and Savings. Well, we went into the bank through the family entrance. One light was burning, and it hung low over the biggest dice table I ever saw in any bank. The stick man was busier than a flea on a fat lady. He called the plays and called the points, and not one of the 50 torpedoes glanced at us as we climbed a short flight to an upstairs office. Two men were in the room. One, a shadow dressed in dark clothes, looked through a small window onto the dice game down below. A Tommy gun rested easy across his knees. The other man sat behind a desk no bigger than the loading platform at Union Station. He was counting money. Neat, orderly piles of bills were stacked around him like a well-trimmed hedge. We waited while he finished thumbing a book of 50s. He just held them up to his ear, fanned them once, made a note on a pad by his elbow. Finally, he turned his swivel chair to face us. It was all chin and jaw. He leaned back, made a church steeple with his fingers, threw me a credit manager smile, and rocked his chair gently to and fro.
Well, come in, Mr. Kelly. Sit down. You're among friends.
Yeah, thanks.
Pete, permit me to introduce you to this here gentleman here who's very fond of you.
Sure, everybody loves me tonight.
Oh, he doesn't love you. Only I love you. He's merely very fond of you.
I am Bacalides.
Yeah.
He's confused. Ain't he cute? Ain't he cute when he's confused?
What is your confusion?
How much time do you have?
I'm at your disposal.
Well, now look, it runs something like this, Mr. Bacalides. I play cornet, see? At 417, I mind my own business. I try not to poke a thumb in anybody's eye. Well, I noticed this young lady here sitting out front, and tonight she asked me to have a drink with her. Well, naturally, I'm flattered.
Yes,
but, you
yes,
know...
I know all this, but what is your confusion?
Well, it seems that this young lady here has a... Well, some kind of an idea that she sort of likes me and...
Loves you, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, well, loves me, like you say. Well, I don't figure myself for no Rudolph Valentino, so I get an idea that it's a rib, you know, and especially since I know how... Well, how she... How both of you...
Not both. One. Me, I love Vita very much.
Oh, darling, you're sweet.
Yeah, that's right, for a fact. And when Vita thinks it over, I'm sure
There's
she's
There's nothing more to think over, Mr. Kelly. Vita has stopped loving me, all right, I face it. It makes me very unhappy, but I face it. Now she loves you. She wants you. I know how unhappy this can make her. I do not like for Vita to be unhappy, so Vita and me, we talk it over. We decide you will marry Vita.
Thank you, darling. You're sweet.
There's nothing, Vita. You know how I will do anything to make you happy, anything.
All right, now how about doing something to make me a little happy, huh?
But I give you Vita.
Yeah, well, I pass.
You refuse?
Oh, Pete, you don't mean that.
You have made Vita cry. I do not like to see Vita cry. Tell her you do not mean that.
Goodbye, friend. I got a number to do at 417, and it ain't Here Comes the Bride.
Yeah.
All right. Just get a little beating there. It was just smacking him around there.
A little violence.
Jack
huh?
Webb. He's pretty tough, that Jack Webb.
Yeah.
You know? He probably weighed a buck 25 back then. He was a pretty skinny guy.
A buck 25.
But on radio, you can be as big and tall and tough. That's why I
that's
like radio.
That's you. Tall, dark, and handsome.
Why do you think
here.
I chose radio as opposed to TV, Lisa?
You are
that's
tall,
the exact,
dark, and handsome.
This is the you found out my secret here. That's why I like radio so much. This is The Shy Woman, starring Jack Webb in Pete Kelly's Blues. I tell you, it's a cool series. It's heard on NBC. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. You know, in a couple weeks, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, will be here to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. And, folks, if you're listening to my voice right now and you own a cat or more than one cat, I'm sure you would appreciate a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Now, someone has to win. We give away a year's supply every single month. Now, that person could be you. Believe me, the last few people that have won were like, I wonder if I'm going to win this, and they did. Right?
Right.
I mean, it's not like we have thousands of people entering it every month. I mean, it's you have a really good shot of winning.
As a matter of fact, we had one of our winners and in our studio a couple of months back.
We
our first winner came back to tell us about his experience with Cat's Pride and how it's been such a winner for him and his cat.
All right, so it's really simple. Just take a picture of your cat. We'd love you to be in the picture, too, but it could just be of your cat. And send that picture to us via email to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And you should tell a friend, if you don't own a cat, at least tell a friend who has a cat, send it in to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Now we need your name and your city and state along with that. We'd like the kitty's name as well. And we put it in a drawing, and Dan Jaffe at the end of the month just randomly pulls one winner, and that person gets a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter.
It's always a lot of fun. Contests are fun, and it's nice to win.
And we post the pictures at our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page, which I think is up to what? Maybe we have maybe 30 or 40 likes so far today.
I'll have to check, but we're not at our 1,200 goal.
Right.
So
we do need more help, folks. We're having a like on Facebook marathon.
Yes,
this
marathon.
Morning. We are asking our listeners to please go to Facebook and like us.
Like us, be our friend, comment, give us some feedback, and check out our new photo that we just posted.
And also, let us know what you want to hear.
I just said that.
Classic radio shows. No, I don't think you did.
Yes, I said let us know what you'd like to hear. Give us comments and feedback.
No, you didn't say that.
Okay.
No. I'm going to listen back to the podcast.
Yeah, you do that.
You know, by the way, this show is podcast. As soon as we're done, Shane goes in there and the guy is the hardest working man in show business. He gets done with the show, he goes and he gets our podcast ready.
You know, by the time I get home, it's already up.
It's already
up. He's here working through the night.
And this is show 43. So just, here's what I do. I Google WGN Radio Theater, and then I write 43 in there. That's what I do.
Okay, can I give you a better way?
Yeah,
I'm going to download the WGN Radio app for you.
Oh.
Can I do that for you on your phone?
I'm terrified of technology.
If it's on there, you just click it, and there it is.
You should not mess. I'm getting the podcast my own way. Now you're asking me to do it a different way? I'm terrified of that.
Okay. You're terrifying.
I just go to Google. I type in WGN Radio Theater program. This is program 43. It'll pop up. I click it. And tomorrow's show will be 44.
Okay.
And so on and so forth.
I'm going to leave you alone.
That's how I do it.
You got it.
How do you do it?
I have the app on my phone.
I'm not an app guy at all.
But you have me, and I'm happy to help.
I am.
Okay, you do your own.
All right, we're going to tune this in now. Let's get back to Pete Kelly's blues.
Pick him up.
On your feet.
You will ask Vita to be your wife.
What's the next best offer?
Itch, don't hurt him.
I won't.
All right, Itch. I think Mr. Kelly wants to say something.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Huh?
Who am I?
Huh?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Whiskey. All right. Put him in that chair.
Come on, boy.
Hold his head back. All right, he is fine now.
Yeah. All I need is a few kind words.
I will give them to you. Just repeat after me. Vita, I love you.
Vita, I love you.
Mean it.
Vita, I love you.
Oh, Pete.
Will you marry me?
Will you marry me?
Oh, darling, of course I will.
Congratulations, we drink to it. To the happy bride and groom, long life.
Long life.
Long life.
Yeah.
Now, here's how. Tomorrow afternoon, you and Vita will marry in City Hall. Itch will be best man. Then you go on a nice long honeymoon, drive to Canada in my Hispano, which I give Vita for a wedding present.
Look, I got a job here in town, 417 Cherry.
Go back to that crib, tell the boss you quit. Tear up your cornet.
I'm loaded, Pete.
Loaded.
All right. Here's a pound of 50s. Tomorrow morning, you buy some clean clothes, top to bottom, inside and out. You will meet Vita at City Hall, 2:00. Here's a key to the Hispano. Take it. Now kiss Vita goodnight.
Yeah.
Good night, Angel. I'll be the happiest bride in the world.
Sure.
And you'll be the happiest bridegroom.
Yeah, or the saddest stiff. Well, I left the office inside the spin of a top. The Hispano stood by the curb, sleek and calm, just like nothing had happened. Nothing at all. Well, I pointed for the 12th Street Bridge, made the other side of the river, and set a course down Boulder Road for Fat Annie's place. Oh, I tried to imagine life with Vita Brand, and then I thought of 6 painless ways of committing suicide. I began to feel better. Fat Annie's place was doing a fair business for the lull hours. Maggie Jackson was standing back by the piano. I groped my way to the bar, ordered a bromo and ammonia, and listened.
All right, for the wealthy gentleman from Detroit. He needs me. All right, Ray.
He needs me. He doesn't know it, but he needs me. And so no matter where he goes, though he doesn't care, he knows I'm there. He needs me. I gotta follow where he leads me. He'll never know that I need him just as he needs
me. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulate me, Maggie.
Congratulations. What for?
Let's get back here. I want you to be the first to know. In here.
Pete, who worked you over?
You ever hear of a nail named Vita Brand?
Vita? Why, she don't weigh hardly enough to beat the white of an egg.
What do you know about her, Maggie?
Nothing much for sure. Only she's back a lady's package, and that makes her a package nobody tampers with. Nobody.
Yeah, nobody but me.
Not if you love life, you don't.
I gotta.
Who says?
Back a lady says.
Petey, you all right?
Till tomorrow at 2 o'clock, yeah.
What's then?
Then's the wedding.
Who?
Mine and Vita Brand.
Petey, you've gone simple for sure. You know what Bacalides will do to you?
Look, Maggie, I just left Bacalides and Vita.
He catch you with her?
Look, that way I'm healthy. If he catches me without her, I'm dead in my socks.
Petey, you're taking those risks too fast. Slow it down a little. Bacalides, he's just crazy about that woman. Remember Albino Artie? He once looked at Vita like Bacalides didn't buy. That was 6 or 7 weeks ago. You seen Albino Artie for the past 6 or 7 weeks? No, nobody has.
Well, hear this. Bacalides orders me to marry Vita at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Now square it for me. Why?
And Vita, what does she say about this?
Only that she loves me.
She tell that to Bacalides?
Right to his platinum tea.
Oh, I'm getting that feeling, Petey, like my grandmother used to get.
And what's it tell you?
That Vita's preparing herself to be a bride and a widow both in the same day.
Yeah. Well, I better move.
You do that, Pete. Fast and far.
So long, Maggie. I will.
And if I were you, I wouldn't stop moving till I heard him speak in foreign languages.
Well, marry Vita and I'm a dead bridegroom. Don't marry Vita, I'm a dead bachelor. Well, I decided to try to be a live fugitive. I raced the Hispano back across the river, pulled up sharp in front of 417 Cherry. The brakes never made a sound. Lupo was pounding the cash register with both fists. He threw the usual glare at me as I pushed through to the bandstand. Hold it down, huh? Hold it down. Let's do this one real fine for me. It's my last time around.
Pete?
Yeah, Red.
You being pushed out?
Yeah, it's that or carried out. All right. Let's do singing the blues, huh? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
that'll do. Now, look, boys, I'm not going to be around for a while. A little business I got to take care of. Well, you'll hear from me, so just keep at it right here until... Red?
Yeah, Pete?
In the alley, huh? Mm-hmm. Look, Red, I'm in a jam.
What can I do to help, Pete?
Thanks, but nothing. I gotta keep moving. Maybe cool off in a couple of weeks, maybe not. Meantime, try to keep the boys together, huh?
Sure.
Well.
Well.
So long, Red. Take care of yourself, huh?
Petey, need anything? Couple of bucks, Erskine, anything?
No, I'm fine. I'll see you. Wasn't easy. I was gonna miss the boys. I missed Red already. No, it wasn't easy. But there was only one exit. I drove around to the rooming house, raced up the stairs. All I had to take was a clean shirt, my other suit, and my book of arrangements. I'd hightail it east, just keep rolling till I ran out of road. That was the plan, until I got to my room. She was stretched across my bed, and she looked right at me as I came in. There she was, on my bed, looking right at me, but I was all alone. Now, Vita would never be anybody's widow. She was too dead to say I do. The stocking from her left leg was where no girl's stocking ought to be, knotted tightly around her throat. Well, I tiptoed back to the door, as though she was a light sleeper. I closed the door very gently behind me, and then I raced down the three flights into the street, into the Hispano, and into high speed. There was no lambing out of this one. You just don't hit the road in a car belonging to the stiff you leave behind. For such violations, the law is strict. Also, Bacchalides. Well, I pulled up hard in front of Sour Sammy's joint. This time the brakes cried. Barney Ricketts was sitting at his usual table in his usual state, boiled and loud. Barney's the only ex-bootlegger in the country who went broke in 1922. He says he did that to aggravate a couple of prohibition agents he hated. Well, Barney saw me come in, waved me over to his table.
Ah, Pete Kelly. Welcome, Petey, and have a drink.
Look, Barney, I'm up to my eyes.
Nonsense, Petey. You haven't even opened them yet. Ah, here we are. A drink for you and a drink for me.
Now, listen, Barney, I'm in trouble.
Petey, I have suddenly become oppressed by the state of the world. Well, it's my own fault, Petey, my own fault. I make it a rule never to look at the public prints. But tonight, well, just listen to these few choice items.
Now, look, Barney, right now I'm a moving target for Bacchalides' gun.
Last night's edition of the Star. Look here, Petey, September 8, 1923. Girl forced to leap from stranger's automobile. But let us remember, Petey, that the only girls who leap from strangers' automobiles are those who climb into them. And here, look here.
All right, Barney.
California politicians say they are responsible for President Calvin Coolidge's success. Probably insist, Petey, that it's in honor of their state that he's called Cal. And this, Petey...
Barney, look, there's a dead girl in my room.
German Marx quoted at 28 cents per million. So you see, Petey, even a German millionaire is pushed hard to feel like 30 cents.
Now, look, Vita Brand, Bacchalides' girl, she's dead, Barney, in my room.
Well, now, that's most careless of you, Petey.
If I run, it's the law, Barney. If I stand still, it's Bacchalides.
How did you get mixed up with Vita Brand and Bacchalides?
I don't know. I'm still in last week's fog. She wanted to marry me. Bacchalides said I would or else. Why, Barney? Why if he torched for her?
Very simple problem in human relationships, Petey. Tonight, the word got out that Muggsy Brand was sprung.
Who's Muggsy Brand?
Peter's father. He was sent up last year. Peter's his whole life. He tried to guard her like Lupo guards his cash register. He hates Bacchalides, and if he learned that he and Peter...
Yeah, now it's coming into focus.
Sometimes, Petey, you're dull-witted. Dull-witted, but stupid.
So Bacchalides and Peter rigged it to disarm her old man. She marries me, takes the heat off Bacchalides.
Splendid, Petey, splendid.
And her old man winds up throwing the knife at me. All I gotta do now is explain Vita's body in my room to Muggsy Brand.
Precisely what Bacchalides expects you to face.
All right. Glue the rest of it together for me, will you?
Bacchalides is married. He could never square himself with Vita. He got in deeper than he wanted to. Mm-hmm. He couldn't dump her because of Muggsy coming out. So he ties her onto you, gets her up to your room, leaves her dead on your bed.
How do I back out of this one, Barney?
Do you know where to reach Bacchalides?
Yeah, at the Grundy Bank.
His dice game?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Go there. See Bacchalides. Lay it on the line for him. All the way, just like we talked it here.
Well, he'll cut me down.
He might.
How much edge do I have?
Not quite enough to shave with.
But maybe just enough to cut my throat, huh?
It's your only chance, Pete. You're in the middle of a three-way push. The law, Bacchalides, Muggsy Brand.
All right, Barney. I'm counting on you on the outside.
Don't worry, Petey. I'll be there with bells on.
Yeah, make sure they don't toll for me. Well, I went back to the Grundy Bank and Savings. I had no trouble getting in. The game was just heating up. I stalled around the dark edges of the table for a minute and laid a few bucks on the field. Upstairs, the light was on in the office. The boy with the big piece was still sitting at the window. I could see the head and shoulders of Bacchalides. He was still counting money. I started slowly up the stairs, went into the room without knocking. The muscle man swung sharp, pointing the heater at my stomach. Bacchalides, fast for a big man, flung out a hand and knocked the gun out of line.
Hold it. Next time knock, or you pick up a lot of weight.
Yeah, or a silk stocking around my neck?
No, for you a knife. From the fingers of the best shiv man in the country.
Muggsy Brand?
Don't try to run, Kelly. He likes a moving target. Just go to him. Tell him his daughter is in your bed, a stocking around her throat. Tell him you don't understand any of it. He will be very sympathetic.
Well, that's nice, Mr. Bacchalides. You set it up real nice.
Smart, huh?
Sure. You persuade Vita to buzz it around that I'm number one. Everything fixed for her father's ears. Even get her to help you push her across by going up to my room.
You tell a good story, friend. Maybe too good.
I'll put that rod down, Bacchalides, before you drop it and break your toe.
Maxie, take him downstairs. Come back alone.
Petey, look out! Get down!
Muggsy!
Barney, you all right?
Shell shock.
Muggsy Brand?
Yes, Pete. I knew where he was. All he heard was Bacchalides.
Kelly.
Yeah, Muggsy.
Bacchalides. I got him?
He was between the guns. Not much left of him. Or his trigger man.
Or me. Now listen. My poke. Money. Take it. My kid, good burial.
Easy, Muggsy, huh?
She was only a kid. Maybe if she met a guy like...
He's gone, Pete.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Pete? A guy like who?
Who knows, Barney? Who knows?
Kelly's Blues, starring Jack Webb, with story by Joe Eisinger and music by Dick Cathcart, scoring by Matty Matlock. The music of Pete Kelly's Big Seven and Maggie Jackson is now available on phonograph record.
That's Pete Kelly's Blues, a good radio broadcast from August 29th, 1951, The Shy Woman, starring Jack Webb. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Good to be alive right about now.
Woo! Kane, shoot, he scores! A hat trick for Patrick Kane! Woo! That's all she wrote. The Blackhawks have won 10 in a row.
The weekend with a 10-game win streak. Get ready to welcome the Habs to the United Center. Blackhawks Canadians tonight at 6.
And the Hats come streaming down
on 720 WGN.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, ink is so pricey, I've had to give up other things I need for my office.
Now, for every recycled cartridge, you get $4 back in Staples rewards when you buy ink or toner. So you'll...
I can use the rewards for other office essentials.
Bingo.
Like a desk.
That could be useful.
Shop Staples for all the ink you need at a great value every day. Staples, make more happen.
Minimum purchase $60 on ink or $200 on toner. Limit 5 recycled cartridges per customer. Offer ends 1/23/16. For details, see store or staples.com/rewards.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a traveling lounge singer.
And we're going up the airport escalator. Hey, where are you from? Ha ha, no response. Classic. Got in an accident, so you gotta take a cab, huh? No cabs at Progressive Service Centers. They got rental cars on site, which is out of sight, you know?
Progressive takes the hassle out of claims. Just drop your car off at one of our service centers, and we'll manage the rest.
Here's a little number I like to call. Waiting for the shuttle bus.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Service centers not available in all areas. You have a choice of repair facilities.
Eastern Illinois University is bringing the Future Panther Party to Chicago. If you've been accepted to EIU or are the parent of an accepted student, get ready to meet your new EIU family and celebrate your admission. EIU is the number one public regional university in the state, and we got that way by welcoming students like you onto our campus.
We know you haven't attended a class yet, but you're already part of a proud tradition. Embrace it with other Future Panthers January 30th at the Doubletree in Alsip or January 31st at the Schaumburg Marriott.
Meet other area Future Panthers, amazing EIU graduates and representatives from admissions, financial aid, housing, and student life ready to answer your questions.
Our alumni, from former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar to NFL quarterbacks Tony Romo and Jimmy Garoppolo, know from their own experiences the excellent choice EIU is for your college years and beyond.
Take the first step to becoming a proud EIU alum. Attend one of our events. Space is limited. RSVP at eiu.edu/admitted.
A vending machine? Sure. A parking meter? Okay. A slot machine? That's kind of the point. There are some machines that you have to pay to use. An ATM shouldn't be one of them. With total access checking from your Wintrust Community Bank, every ATM nationwide is free, even ones outside the network. With the fees you'll save, go on. Buy a candy bar from that vending machine. Get our total access special offer at wintrust.com/TAC. Members FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24-7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471.
We spent some very special time with the legendary Carol Burnett. We'll talk about her amazing career, her Lifetime Achievement Award, and yes, her new role on television. Plus, inside stories of the Johnny Carson era. His nephew joins us to share them.
Dave Plyer, overnight, next.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN. All right, in our next hour, we're going to tune in to Cary Grant, starring in Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, a radio adaptation of the famous film as heard on the Screen Director's Playhouse. So don't miss that in our next hour. We'll be back with the WGN Radio Theater. But this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's time for the news with Roger Badish.
Thank you. It's mostly cloudy and 9 degrees with a wind chill of minus 9 at O'Hare. There aren't any gun shops in Chicago, but Chris O'Connor wants to change that. He wants to open a gun range and state-of-the-art gun shop near Erie and Halstead. He says there are more than 50,000 gun owners within a three-mile radius of the proposed site.
People need a place where they can get training, where they can practice, so they are able to safely handle their guns and exercise their Second Amendment rights.
Gun sellers can operate in the city, but with certain restrictions, such as being located no less than 50 feet from schools and parks, all sales must be videotaped, and customers are limited to one gun per month. A transgender student from Palatine will be able to use a girls' locker room starting next Friday.
This comes after a long fight with the federal government and lots of public meetings. Township High School District 211 came to agreement last month with federal authorities after the student filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education. Girl was represented by the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois. The school district says privacy curtains they put up at first now have been replaced with stalls that look like department store changing rooms. Both the boys' and girls' locker rooms now have 5 stalls each for any student to use. Veronica Carter, WGN News.
The big game between Morgan Park and Simeon has been postponed after the game was moved several times. Morgan Park parents threatened to boycott. CPS officials moved the game from Morgan Park because they didn't think their gym could handle the expected crowds. Romello Burrell, a student at Morgan Park, says this isn't the first time it's happened.
Our gym is really small to hold any game, really. It's tough to get a big crowd there.
Parent Tiffany Burrell says the game must be played before the start of the Public League playoffs in February. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We owe so much to our heroes in uniform, but when they come home, what awaits them? We Union, plumbers, fitters, welders, and service technicians offer training and a career. Our VIP program, Veterans in Piping, provides opportunity for a future of rewarding work. End users and contractors, please partner with us in putting these dedicated, highly trained veterans back to work. Everyone wins. Learn more at UA.org.
GN Sports, Penn State beat your Northwestern Wildcats yesterday, 71-62. Hawks will be hosting Montreal tonight. Pregame with Judd at 5:30, face-off at 6 with John Weideman, Troy Murray on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. In the NFL playoffs, New England and Arizona advance. Later today, it'll be Seattle at Carolina. The afternoon game will be Pittsburgh at Denver. Checking WGN traffic, again, dealing with the Irving Park being closed between Kedzie and Kimball because of police activity there. There's an accident now at Dearborn at Lake Street. The off-ramp from the westbound Eisenhower at First Avenue, a car on fire on the ramp. And an accident reported westbound I-90-94 at Fullerton. Other than that, the travel times on the expressways and tollways are at posted speeds. Forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Rest of the overnight, slight chance of snow before 8 o'clock in the morning. Windy, low around 4. Wind chills near minus 10. Sunday, it's only going to get up to 8. Wind chills are dropping because the winds will be picking up. The wind chills down near minus 16. And Sunday night, the wind chills drop even more as the temperature drops. Wind chills expected in about minus 21. And that stays the same all the way through your Martin Luther King holiday on Monday. Mostly sunny, windy, the high near 11, but those wind chills down near minus 21. Right now, 9 at O'Hare, 14 Midway, 14 also at Oak Park, 15 along the lakefront, Lake Michigan water temperature 33, winds out of the northwest at 17, giving us a wind chill of minus 9 at O'Hare. Next news, 1:30 or when news breaks, and at WGNRadio.com. I'm Roger Battish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Lisa, you're up. You're me? Wide awake.
I took Bubbly a nap. Lisa. I took a nap today. I have to confess.
Not me.
Yes.
No.
I'm going to be up for hours.
I'm drinking some coffee. Lisa, you don't drink coffee, do you?
I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, I drank some coffee.
You're drinking coffee?
Before the show started.
Okay, because we had a listener who sent a message on Facebook asking how much coffee we must be drinking in order to stay awake. And I said, no coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I didn't realize you had coffee. So
I could never.
I take that back.
I'm in bed by 9:30.
Yeah, I'm in bed
old.
By 9:30, no matter
9:30.
What I'm
You're
doing.
You're a young lady.
I know. I like to stay up, and I get my best work done at night.
Do you really? Gosh, I'm an early bird. I get up really early in the morning. I'm up by, like, you know, noon,
I
something
can't
like
even,
that.
You're up by noon?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm up
what?
Early. Yeah, right, Shane? You too? You're a noon guy?
No, I'm like a, I mean, realistically, like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
That's good.
I can't even talk in the morning.
In reality, 6 o'clock I'm up.
In reality, it's a good thing that this show is not in the morning.
I'm up 6 a.m.
I would be a lousy co-host.
Would you?
At 8 a.m.
And I'm in bed by about 11. And by the time, yeah. But this show starts at 11. So it's like, I would be like.
Yeah, well, I'll keep you
right about
awake.
Now.
I'll keep you bouncing, as you say.
For, let's see, 3 hours I'd have been already.
And do you snore, Carl?
Right? No.
No.
No. I don't need my uvula clipped like you do.
I don't
Lisa,
snore.
You should hear her when she falls asleep. She's fallen asleep right here in this chair. You should hear how loud.
Just so we're
it's like
clear.
It's like I'm in a train station.
Just so we're clear, you are the one who falls asleep.
Right.
I'm always bouncing.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
He's trying to get Shane on his side.
This
here.
Hour, Cary Grant reprises his role as Mr. Blandings, and Mr. Blandings builds his dream house. Hilarious comedy coming your way. But first, our celebrity scoop segment.
Ba-dum-bum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming crime thriller London Has Fallen, about a man who discovers a plot to assassinate all the world leaders attending the prime minister's funeral in London.
All right. I'm going to give you a hint who this guy is in just a sec, but I want to tell you what the prizes are.
Yes. Do you want
me to
do it?
Two tickets, right?
Two tickets to Goodman Theater to the world premiere of Another Word for Beauty. It's playing right now at the Goodman Theater through February 21st.
All right, win two tickets to a Goodman Theater show. Call us at 312-981-7200 if you can name this celebrity. He played God opposite Jim Carrey in the 2003 comedy Bruce Almighty.
You always were funny, Bruce. Just like your father. He didn't mind rolling up his sleeves either, son. People underestimate the benefit of good old manual labor.
All right, right. We got a little manual labor here, right, Lisa?
Big
you and I?
Time. You Big work time. Me to the
I
bone.
Roll my sleeves up here.
My knuckles are
dig
worked.
In here on these classic radio shows. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
You always were funny, Bruce. Just like your father. He didn't mind rolling up his sleeves either, son. People underestimate the benefit of good old manual labor.
We have Jim on the line from Williams Bay, Wisconsin. Hey, Jim.
Hello there.
How's it going over there in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, Williams Bay, where a certain actor starred in Chain Reaction with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Where's Williams Bay? How far north is that?
Williams Bay is about 90 minutes northwest of Chicago. It's basically the western edge of Geneva Lake, where Lake Geneva is.
Well, great. Then you're not too far to enjoy a show at Goodman Theater if you can tell me who played God and whose voice that is and going to be in London Has Fallen.
That would be Morgan Freeman.
Absolutely. You are right, and you are a winner, and you have won two tickets to the world premiere of Another Word for Beauty. This was written by Jose Rivera, and it's a music field work about a female inmates at a Columbia prison, and they're competing in a beauty pageant. It sounds terrific. It just opened. It's running through February 21st, and you can get more information at goodmantheater.org. Thanks, Jim, so much for listening and for calling in, okay?
Thank you. Fantastic. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, good. Let us know what you think of the show, okay?
Will do.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for listening to WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday night and every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. So make sure you mark your calendar, tell a friend, and join us every weekend. Lisa drives out from the suburbs. I drive out for the suburbs from the suburbs to do the show. And then we have to drive back to the suburbs. Of course, you go to a different suburb than I do.
We don't live near each
other.
No,
we don't. We're not married. People think we're married because we're on the air. Doesn't mean, just because we're on the air doesn't mean we're married. We're best friends.
We act like we're married sometimes. We bicker a lot.
We bicker. We're the Bickersons.
We call each other the Bickersons.
And we have a Bickersons coming up pretty soon, I promise. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready for the Screen Directors Playhouse. You know, adapting hit movies for radio airplay was big business, as evidenced by Lux Radio Theater and the Screen Guild Players. Now, usually one or two of the film stars reprise their roles on these radio adaptations, which was very cool to hear the original film star.
Sure.
The difference with Screen Directors Playhouse, though, was the added element of director participation. The director also was heard, and he would sort of make a cameo at the end of the show, you know, a curtain call type of thing, and talk about what it was like to work with the actors and all that. Very, very cool. This show was sponsored by RCA Victor, and it came to radio in 1949. It made the transition to television in 1955. That must have been really difficult. Can you imagine taking a 90-minute movie or an 80-minute movie and adapting it for television airplay? I mean, they probably had to really be selective as to what movies they were, you know. But on radio, you could do anything. I mean, radio, theater of the mind. And we have a great episode for you now. People have been asking for more comedy, so
yes,
we thought we'd play this. This is a terrific comedy. Mr. Blandings builds his dream house, starring Cary Grant. Also in the cast, Francis Robinson. and Whitfield, Willard Waterman, who played the great Gildersleeve on radio for a while. This is sponsored by Pabst Beer, as heard on NBC. Here's part one of the Scream Director's Playhouse.
Scream Director's Playhouse. Production, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. Director, H.C. Potter. Star, Cary Grant.
The Hollywood Screen Directors present a blueprint for laughter. Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, starring Cary Grant and introducing the director of the film, H.C. Potter. The directing of motion pictures can ordinarily be expected to satisfy anyone's urge for creative achievement, but not our guest screen director tonight, for he's also the director of such significant Broadway plays as A Belle for Adano and Anne of a Thousand Days. On the screen, he's brought you such fine entertainment as Mr. Lucky, The Farmer's Daughter, and tonight's story, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. H.C. Potter.
Thank you. People laugh at most comedies because something funny happens to the characters. But in the case of Mr. Blandings, they laugh because the joke was on them. As millions of Mr. Blandings saw themselves discovering the ferocious fact that homes are built, not born. Now, Mr. Blandings builds his dream house for the first time on the air, starring Cary Grant in his original role of Jim, with Francis Robinson as Muriel.
Was once a carefree fellow who swung happily through the jungle trees, every man his own Tarzan. But then he wanted to get out of the trees and into caves. Then he yearned to get out of the caves into a house. He's still yearning. This is the story of Jim Blandings, New York apartment dweller, who yearned to get out of his cave. Tall, good-looking, college graduate, advertising business, VP in charge of the Wham Ham account. Has two fine daughters and one lovely, intelligent wife named Muriel. I'm Muriel. Every morning in our apartment, we fought for first with the bathroom, the big bonanza. Started first thing in the morning, I'd open one eye, and there would be Jim nuzzling the furniture like a strange dog. Looking for something, dear?
My socks.
Why don't you look in your sock drawer?
That's where I found my underwear.
Try your underwear drawer.
I am in my underwear drawer.
Well, what did you find?
Your underwear.
Then the Great American Bathroom Derby. And there goes Jim Blandings, an odds-on favorite. He's at the door. He opens it.
Sorry.
Father, I wish you'd knock.
That was Betsy, age 10. Joan has a different scream. The conditions being what they were in our apartment, Jim would shave while I brush my teeth.
Oh, Muriel.
Sorry, did you cut yourself?
I cut myself every morning. I kind of look forward to it.
Bill Cole uses an electric razor and...
Bill Cole does not have my beard.
Bill's beard is just as tough and stubborn...
I am not interested in discussing the grain and texture of Bill Cole's hair follicles before I have my orange juice, please.
And so forth. Until one morning, Jim saw an ad in the paper.
Listen to this, Muriel.
Hmm?
Forced to sell. Farm dwelling. Original beams. Oak grove. Trout stream. Meadows. Superb view. Will sacrifice.
So?
Spend $6,000-$7,000. We can have a home of our own. A dream house.
Oh, Jim. Do you really think we could?
Doesn't cost anything to look.
Well, there she stands, folks. The old Hackett place. Finest old house in Connecticut.
My, It's just charming.
Dear, we're just looking.
First year she was here, General Gates stopped right there to water his horses. Yes, sir. If you act fast, you can get that place for a steal. And I mean a steal.
Tell me, Smith, what are you hoping to get for that broken-down old relic?
Well, we're asking $10,000.
$10,000?
He's asking. How much will you take?
$10,000.
Well, that's more like it. We'll take it. Good morning, Gussie. Good morning, children.
Good morning, Mr. Blanding.
Good morning, Father.
Morning, Muriel.
Good morning, dear.
I'll go get your wham and eggs now, Mr. Blanding.
Well, girls, did your mother tell you about our new home?
Yes.
Well?
Our teacher, Miss Stillwagon, says the current craze for modernizing old farmhouses is a form of totem worship.
Oh, Miss Stillwagon does, huh?
I was just thinking, Jim. $10,000 was more than you wanted to pay for a place.
It was a steal, Muriel. It was larceny.
Well, shouldn't we see a lawyer? Bill Cole would have...
For once in my life, I want to make a decision without Bill Cole.
Well, he's your lawyer.
Only because he was your old college beau. Now, I don't want Bill Cole puttering with this. That's final. No Bill Cole. Well, there's our house, Bill. What do you think?
Oh, well. What's that?
Just a few shingles.
Oh, it's a nice old house, Bill. It just needs someone to love. That's all.
It's a good thing there are two of you. One to love it and one to hold it up. What'd your engineer say when he checked the foundation in that roof?
Who needs engineers? This isn't a train.
I just saw it move.
Now, look here, Bill. It so happens that General Gates stopped at this very house to water his horses.
I don't care if General Grant stopped in for a cold beer. You're getting rooked.
Jim, you don't think we've made a mistake?
Oh, now listen to me, both of you. I've gone out and found what I'm not ashamed to call my dream house. It's like a beautiful painting. You buy it with your heart, not with your head, because it's beautiful and you love it. And when I sign those papers Saturday, I can look the world in the face and say it's mine. My house. My home. My 50 acres.
Our house. Our home. Our 50 acres.
Well, all right. You better let me have Joe Apollonio look the house over for you.
Who?
He's the man who advised the government not to raise the Normandy.
Oh, no.
They didn't listen to him and wasted $5 million.
Bill, you have my word. If I were raising the Normandy, I wouldn't make a move without Joe Apollonio.
Okay. Okay, Jim. Muriel, I guess goodbye for an old college chum, and I'll be on my way.
I'm going to look around inside again. Coming along, Muriel?
Jim, the porch floor!
Stand there. Get me out of this hole.
Bill?
Hey!
I guess you'd better get in touch with Joe Apollonio.
Any small changes in this house, Mr. Apollonio, would have to conform with the character of the countryside.
Uh-huh.
And still be functional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Apollonio, what's your professional opinion?
Tear it down.
Tear it down?
Tear it down. Get yourself an architect and build a new house.
Get an architect?
Build a new house.
We certainly will not get an architect.
Build a new house.
The idea.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, four experts later, we got ourselves an architect and had the old house torn down and began to discuss plans for a brand new house.
And lots of closet space, Mr. Sims. If there's one thing this family needs, it's closet space.
Closet space.
And bedrooms, Mr. Sims. Four big, roomy, airy bedrooms.
Four bedrooms, Mr. Blanding?
And each bedroom to have at least one bathroom.
And with your limited budget, couldn't you do with one less bathroom?
Well, of course.
Absolutely not.
It'll save $1,300.
I refuse to endanger the health of my children in a house with less than four bathrooms.
Muriel, for $1,300, they can live in a house with three bathrooms and rough it.
Mr.
please?
We'd like a terrace off the study and a three-car garage and, of course, a bar. We must have a bar.
Of course. What else?
Just one thing. Keep the cost down to $10,000.
Yeah.
Lisa, that's Mr. Blandings built his dream house.
I like the way Muriel thinks.
Keep it under $10,000.
She's got it together.
He's going to, like, build this whole house for $10,000.
Isn't that something?
$10,000.
It's got to have four bathrooms.
You don't... Yeah,
and
make
a bar.
It, make it three bathrooms and they can
rough it.
It.
Yeah, that's great.
Cary Grant starring there in a radio version of a very popular movie that he starred in called Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. Very funny, movie. And you know what? Years later, Tom Hanks starred in a sort of a sequel, or I don't know, if, not a sequel. Is it a sequel when they redo it?
It's like a reimagining.
A remake. That's right. Thank
Modern
you.
Modern day version.
Yeah, and what was that movie?
The Money Pit.
The Money Pit. Roger Badish, the man. He knows. He know. You
that
can kind of. He kind of can follow my thought patterns, and
You're
I don't.
Sympathetical.
Which is.
See, we talked about
sympathetical.
That. You guys are almost twins, like, yeah. Right?
We're twins from another mother. Yeah. Exactly.
How do you know it's another mother?
It is because I know my mom only had four kids,
yeah,
and Roger wasn't
think.
One.
I wasn't one of them. No,
Roger wasn't one of them. All right, so are you enjoying this, Roger? This Mr. Blandings Builds the Dream House?
You know I love this stuff. Are
I
you
know.
Kidding?
Roger is a big fan.
We've got auditions in a week and a half.
For what?
We're doing Thin Man and Lone Ranger.
Ah, the Thin Man.
And that'll be in February.
And I'm going to guess the name of the Thin Man script that you're doing. You ready?
Okay.
The Passionate Palooka. Is that the one you're doing? The Adventures of the Passionate Palooka. That's the script. You don't want to know why I think that's what it is?
Well,
I'm trying to remember.
Right
I did
not.
The flyer for it. Now I can't even remember.
The Thin Man was on the air many, many years. It was created by Hyman Brown, who also created... I shouldn't say it was created by Hyman Brown. It was produced and directed by Hyman Brown. It was created. Thin Man, of course, was created by Dashiell Hammett. But Hyman Brown was the creator of Inner Sanctum Mysteries and CBS Radio Mystery Theater. But believe it or not, for as many years as the Thin Man was on the radio, there is one or two episodes that exist, only one or two that ever survived. And one of them is The Adventures of the Passionate
Palooka. So you got a 50-50 chance.
So I figured that that's the script you're maybe doing.
Hold on a second. I will let you know.
All right. Let's see. Drum roll, please.
So again, we're doing The Adventures of the Thin Man.
Right. I say it's The Adventures of the Passionate Palooka.
Passionate Palooka, huh?
Yeah.
And
am I right
or wrong?
Opening
it up right now.
Drum roll, please.
And it is up. Wah, wah,
I could have looked like such a hero there, couldn't I?
You know, I'm so sorry you were wrong.
I was really hoping you were right.
You know what? I could have been a contender. I could have been a contender.
This is the case of the Goofy Groom.
Nah, see, never heard of that one. Mm. Never
Carl,
heard of it.
1946.
Carl. Shocking.
Well, it doesn't exist on audio, I'll tell you that. Of course, it will after you record it.
Well, of course.
And do it live, I should say.
Sure.
All right, so we're not breaking, Shane. We're not going to break. We're going to go right to the news. Okay, so after Roger does the news, we're going to come back and complete this Screen Directors Radio Playhouse, which I think is just hilarious with Cary Grant. I love Cary Grant. I just love him. All right, Lisa, we're back. Thank you, Roger, by the way.
You're welcome.
And,
thank you, Roger, by the way.
We are... I just
my
said
new
that.
Last name.
I know, that's why
Jinx.
I said it.
It's my new last name, by the way.
You know, since Lisa said the same thing I said, I say Jinx, that means she can't talk for the rest of the show.
What are you like, 12?
Right. Like, no talking.
No talking.
Not a chance,
zip,
Roger.
Zip it.
It's impossible.
Zip it.
Blah, blah.
All right. This is a long clip. This next one's long, so we're going to get right back into it. This is Cary Grant in reprising his role as Mr. Blandings in Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House on the Screen Director's Playhouse.
Well, Jim, you've done it again.
Done what?
What's wrong, Bill?
Did that idiot Sims let you tear down your house without consulting me?
Well, what if he did? What of it?
Wasn't anyone aware of the legality involved?
What did I do? What did I do? Tell me.
Didn't you realize that you were dealing with Ethan Miss Hackett?
Will you tell me what crime I've committed?
Jim, what in the world did you do?
I don't know. You won't tell me.
You merely tore down a house on which Hackett held a $6,000 mortgage. which now becomes fully payable upon demand, and Mr. Hackett does so demand.
Where'll we get it?
Well, I suppose I could turn in my insurance policies.
No, Jim. Not yet. No, rather than see you do that, I'll be glad to sign a note for that amount.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, forget it. Well, kiss goodbye for an old college chum, Muriel, old chum.
Huh? Goodbye, Bill.
Hey!
So long, Jim.
Bye.
What a wonderful friend.
Now, what's with this kissing all of a sudden? Lately, every time he leaves this apartment, he shakes hands with me and kisses you.
Would you prefer it the other way around?
Well, I don't like it, that's all. Why doesn't he get married or something?
Because he can't find another girl as sweet and pretty and wholesome as I am. Oh, darling, it isn't Bill. It's the house you're upset about.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It isn't too late to change our minds about the house, Jim.
Muriel, so far, our $10,000 house has cost us $24,698.45. Well, there's one thing you've got to admit.
What?
We've got the prettiest vacant lot in the state of Connecticut.
Back to our Screen Director's Playhouse production of Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, starring Cary Grant.
They cleared the ground for the house. They began digging. They struck solid rock. They had to blast it.
Blast it?
It was now $27,000. And down at the office, Jim's deadline for the new slogan for Wham! Was getting nearer.
Mary.
Yes, sir.
How about this? When you want a snack of ham, why not take a whack at Wham?
You want a professional opinion?
Never mind.
The highly touted trout stream dried up. We had to dig a well. At $4.50 a foot, Jim thought he ought to have a word with Mr. Toussaint, digger of wells.
How's it coming?
Oh, it's coming.
No, I mean, Mr. Desander!
Yep?
I meant, how far down are you?
Oh, about 190 feet.
Well, isn't that pretty deep?
Yep.
Have you hit anything at all?
Hit some nice limestone yesterday.
Limestone?
Yep.
Oh, swell. Nothing on a hot day like a nice cold glass of limestone. Oh, nothing. Go right ahead. I'll just slink back to my office and pop the petty cash.
And then, wonderful to relate, we had our well at last. In fact, we had two wells. One in the yard and another in our basement, 6 feet down.
Now, how do you explain it, Mr. Desander? The men hit good water in my basement at 6 feet. And over there, just 25 yards away, you had to go down 227 feet to hit the same water.
Yep.
Well, how do you account for it?
Well, the way it seems to me, over here, the water's down around 6 feet. And over there, it's down around 227 feet. Yep.
Mr. Blanding, your favorite breakfast dish.
Gussie.
Not Wham again.
I love it. I hate it.
Gussie, I spend 8 long hours a day selling this stuff. I know all about its succulent goodness, its sugar-cured tenderness, its vitamin-drenched
disease. Oh, you don't have to sell me, Mr. Blanding. I like it. Beef and lamb, dorade with Wham.
Night and day under the hide of me, Wham.
Dear, Bill's driving me out to the house again today.
Every time I turn around, Bill's driving you out to the house.
He's only being helpful.
I thought he was a lawyer. Why isn't he out suing somebody? Who's that? Hello? Oh, good morning, Bill.
Oh, give him my love.
What? Oh, that's outrageous.
Just what does the owner of this apartment mean I've got to move in 30 days?
Oh, fine.
No, I know my rights. I have no intention of moving in 30 days. No. No. Well, how can I move into a house without doors and windows? This is not legal, and I want you to fight it. I don't care if it takes every penny I've got. I am not moving. Right. Yeah. All right.
Well?
We're moving in 30 days.
We moved in 30 days into a house with no doors, no windows, and no carpets. We walked around in our overcoats, and at no time did General Eisenhower drive up to share a cup of hot toddy with us. Instead, the green-eyed monster showed up, that old devil Jealousy, because Jim, while unpacking, came across Bill Cole's fraternity pin and my college diary. He didn't say anything until just before we went to bed.
I merely asked a question. What is Bill Cole's fraternity pin doing in your jewel box? Especially after you told me you gave it back to him 15 years ago.
Jim Blandings, I think you're jealous.
Yeah, and his name all over your diary.
Oh, now you've been reading my diary.
Well, it just happened to fall open.
I'll just bet.
If you were so crazy about the guy, why did you marry me?
I'm beginning to wonder. Maybe it was those big cow eyes of yours. Or that ridiculous hole in your chin. Or maybe I just happened to fall in love with you. But don't ask me why.
Oh, Muriel, I'm sorry. Sometimes I act like a schoolboy. Forgive me.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, why do I love you so much?
Darling, it's awfully late. Maybe you better go down and lock the doors.
Well, what for? The windows are all out anyway.
We'd better get to bed.
Yeah. Do you think the mattress will hold on these four chairs?
Certainly.
Good night, dear.
Good night.
Evening, Danton and Bascom Advertising. Oh, yes, Mrs. Blandings, he's right here. It's your wife, boss.
Yes, Muriel? Yes, it's rainy here, too. Well, no, I'm sorry, dear, I can't make it for dinner. I'm going to be here all night with this slogan. What? Bill is coming to dinner. Bill. Oh, all right, Muriel, I've got to get back to work. Bye, Muriel.
Bill.
Boss, how's this for a slogan? East is east and west is west. Ham is ham, but wham is best. Sorry.
Mm. Wait a minute, how's this? If you'd buy better ham, you'd better buy wham.
That's Boyle Petroleum. You better buy oil, you better buy Boyle.
Yeah, confound those monopolies. Wait a minute, I've got it. Win with wham, the ham that came from behind. Oh, no.
Well, by 5 o'clock in the morning, Jim gave up in disgust and started out for the house. Jim, dear.
Morning, Muriel.
Oh, you must be exhausted. How'd it go?
Oh, fine.
Oh, Muriel, I can't seem to find Jim's other slippers. Hello, Jim.
Morning, Bill. What brings you... What are you doing in my pajamas and dressing gown?
Well, how would I look without them?
Bill dropped in and had to stay all night when the bridge was washed out.
Yeah? Slept like a rock.
Rock. Slept like...
Good morning, folks. Sure hope it wasn't as bad here last night as it was in Lansdale.
Gussie wasn't here last night?
Lansdale.
Saw the girls at the Williamses. They'll be along for breakfast any minute.
The children weren't here last night either?
Visiting the Williamses.
Williamses?
If you'll excuse me, I'll slip into something more comfortable.
Williams is.
Now, Jim, you're upset. You've a lot of things on your mind, and
there's only one thing on my mind. This house and how to get rid of it.
That's not what you're thinking.
Well, maybe I'm thinking I was once a happy man. I didn't have a closet, and I didn't have three bathrooms, but I did have my sanity, a few dollars in the bank, two children who loved me, and a wife I could trust.
That's a fine thing to say.
I also had a job, something I don't have at the moment.
Jim.
I'm resigning, and I blame this house for everything.
You love this house.
I hate it. Anybody who builds a house today is crazy. The minute you start, you're on the all-American sucker list. Every way you turn, there's a hand in your pocket. Take out the hand, they find more pockets. It's a conspiracy against every man and woman who want a home of their own. Against every boy and girl who were ever in love. Against...
Excuse me, Mr. Blanding.
Now, what do you want, Mr. DeSander? We've got our well.
There's a matter of $12.86.
Oh, $12.86. Why be a piker, Mr. DeSander? Take everything I've got. Here, take my watch, my keys, my pocket money, my driver's license, my wallet. Take it all.
Mr. Blanding, you don't understand. This $12.86, you don't owe me. I owe you.
Huh?
I found overcharged on the well. Almost 3 feet.
3 feet.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Tassan.
Guess I better be getting along. Sure got a mighty pretty place here. Now you folks take good care of it. Goodbye.
Wonderful man, DeSander.
Come and get it, folks. Orange juice, scrambled eggs, and you know what?
Ham.
Not ham, wham. If you ain't eating wham, you ain't eating ham.
Wait, what did she say?
If you ain't eating wham, you...
You ain't eating ham. Darling, that's it, the slogan. Give Gussie a $10 raise.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, Muriel.
Oh, and... Darling, you didn't mean what you said. You do love our house, don't you?
Oh, Muriel, I don't know. If I had it to do all over again, if I had to put up with tearing it down and architects and well diggers and builders and contractors and bathrooms, if I had to mortgage my future, my job, my peace of mind, just to wind up with a house, a simple $45,000 house, if I had it to do all over again...
Yes?
I guess I'd do it.
It's true, isn't it? You serve Pabst Blue Ribbon in your home?
James, when beer is called for, it's Pabst Blue Ribbon. Well, I think it's time the director Hank Potter and I revealed the truth about the real Mr. Blandings, huh?
Oh, you mean the fellow who actually built the house?
It's a sad story, isn't it, Hank?
Poor Mr. Blandings. The inevitable finally caught up with him.
Mm-hmm. His house was finished.
He bought his furniture.
He planted his lawn.
The dream house was complete.
And then they came.
The little men in white coats.
Yeah, they took him away, Jimmy.
Daffy?
Leaky faucets. Well, good night, Hank. Good night, Hank. Good night, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.
And good night to you, Cary Grant at H.C. Potter. Just to remind you that tomorrow is the beginning of the long and glorious 4th of July weekend. 3 whole days of relaxation. You'll be planning picnics and backyard barbecues. Be sure you have plenty of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer cooling in your refrigerator. It's the delightful way to celebrate the 4th with friends and neighbors and Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served anywhere. Your taste will tell you why. Next week on Screen Director's Playhouse, Pabst Blue Ribbon presents The Big Clock, starring Ray Milland and Maureen O'Sullivan. Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House was presented through the courtesy of RKO Pictures, producers of The Big Steal, starring Robert Mitchum, Jane Greer, and William Bendix. Cary Grant is starring with Ann Sheridan in the soon-to-be-released 20th Century Fox production, I Was a Male War Bride. H.C. Potter is preparing the MGM production, Europa and the Bull, starring Greer Garson. Included in tonight's cast were Francis Robinson as Muriel, with Ann Whitfield, Don Bender, Fred Howard, Willard Waterman, Frank Gersel, Wilms Herbert,
Herb Butterfield, Betty Moran, Ruby Dandridge, and Dan Riss. Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, based on Eric Hodgins' novel, was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Production was under the supervision of Howard Wiley, associate producer Bill Karn. Listen again next week when Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer presents
Screen Directors Playhouse, production The Big Clock, director John Farrell, stars Ray Milland, Maureen O'Sullivan.
Screen Directors Playhouse is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois, and sent your way with the best wishes of the Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. James Wallington speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.